Hello, this is Anil Kumar and you're listening to Back to the Bible with Bible teacher Dr. John Neufeld. Today, we continue our series, The King Goes Public, with a message entitled, The Preparation for the Kingdom. So let's begin by reading Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into fire." Just before we begin today, Dr. Neufeld, one of the reasons you are a Bible teacher is because of your deep passion for God's Word. Could you tell us how that came about?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to. You know, Anil, once I came to Christ, it was as if the Holy Spirit had immediately given me this passionate love for the Bible, and I started reading through my Bible. I've been doing that for many years now, but I did that immediately upon coming to Christ. And then when I entered into pastoral ministry, I made up my mind right at the start that I had absolutely nothing to share, but the Bible, because it is God's Word, has everything in the world to share. So I committed myself to knowing only that one thing.
Thank you so much, Dr. John. Now let's go back to the Bible.
I've been thinking about the word preparation. There are, as we all know, so many things in life that we would not do without an adequate degree of preparation. What bride would appear at her wedding without first making a huge decision regarding the appropriate dress, the flowers, the decorations, the invitation list? On and on it goes. And then, of course, this is what I think. The reason why weddings are never in the morning is because on the day of the wedding, it takes early morning to at least mid-afternoon just to get the bride ready. Preparation. Think of the athlete getting ready for his Olympic event. Think of the scholar getting prepared for her PhD oral defense. Think of the politician defending a new government policy to the public in front of the cameras. No one walks into any one of these events just hoping for the best and winging it. Often these big events require far more preparation than the actual event itself. And so in those days, as Matthew puts it, in those days just before the Messiah, in the days just before the great king was to step out into the public stage, preparations had to be made. But in this case, it is the everyday people who must prepare themselves. See, on this side of history, as we await the second coming of Christ, I'm amazed at how much energy Christians spend in defending their view of eschatology or the doctrine of last things. And by the way, I'm not denigrating a detailed study of the end times, but I am concerned that we forget the passages of Scripture like Matthew 25, in which Jesus tells the parable of the 10 virgins. The point of Christ's parable is, be prepared, for you don't know the day or the hour of our Lord's return. Or Titus 2, we are told that in the light of the blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, we are to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled and upright lives. Be prepared. You don't know the hour of the Lord's coming. Be concerned with preparation. A similar kind of situation existed when John the Baptist began to preach. None of the gospel writers tell us exactly what transpired to make John as popular as he was, but he created such a stir that everyone from Jerusalem to all Judea to all the countryside were making a pilgrimage to the Judean wilderness to hear him preach. Matthew tells us that this was God's timing. Matthew 3:3 says, "For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Now Matthew's quoting Isaiah 40 verse 3. The immediate Old Testament context for that quotation, well, it's fascinating. If you have ever read through the book of Isaiah, you will notice that in the earlier chapters, Isaiah predicts both the Assyrian invasion of Israel and also the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem. The day of judgment, says Isaiah, is coming for Israel. Isaiah says that the days are coming when everything of value in Jerusalem will be carried off to Babylon. And then as Isaiah describes this dark scenario, And we should be aware how the judgment he predicts fills his hearers with horror. All of a sudden, as if light shines in a dark place, the book of Isaiah becomes overwhelmingly beautiful. Chapter 40 begins with the words, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." Isaiah foretells a day when the perpetual warfare and judgment against the people of God will end. And when will that be? Isaiah answers, "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." Now please notice several things. Matthew, who quotes this passage, tells us that John the Baptist is that voice who announces that this wonderful time that has been prophesied by Isaiah has now arrived. John is the long-anticipated voice crying in the wilderness. I do know that all manner of Bible scholars will protest. They will say that the passage in Isaiah has nothing to do with John the Baptist. They say that Matthew had it all wrong, but I think they're wrong, and Matthew did get it right. In fact, many ancient rabbis put the words of Isaiah together with the words of Malachi 3 verse 1, which says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." And then Malachi 4 verse 5 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." And so there developed at the time of John this expectation that God would send either Elijah himself or a prophet like him to pave the way for the coming of the kingdom of heaven. When he comes, the Bible says, his voice will first be heard crying out in the desert. Now there's one more thing to be added about the Isaiah prophecy. Notice closely that the message of the Elijah-like prophet will be this: prepare the way of the Lord, and not prepare the way of the Messiah. Now, why do I mention this? In Hebrew, the word Lord is the word Yahweh, which, as you know, is the name for God. Prepare the way for God himself. I only mention this so that we won't miss it. The arrival of Jesus as the great king is the arrival of God himself. It's too early in the New Testament to give a full-blown doctrine of the Trinity, but by the time we get to the baptism of Jesus, the Trinitarian overtones are becoming deafening. This is no mere human figure on the stage, and this is no mere king we are expecting. We are expecting God himself to step into the human story, and when he does, the kingdom of heaven will be here. So what have we learned up to this point? We should have learned that the coming of the Lord demands preparation. Just like no bride would ever approach her wedding wearing jeans, a t-shirt, runners, and her hair needing a wash, so no one who lives expectantly, waiting for the second coming of Christ, would ever wait on him without praying the words of Psalm 139, 23-24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting." For believers, repentance is joy. Keeping short accounts with God, that's a pleasure. Not letting our sins fester to the point of inciting rebellion, that's a privilege. Closing out each day by praying with Jesus, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." This is to be the pattern of our lives. We have been taught to always live in the light of expectation. We don't know the day or the hour of our King's return. John is bringing that realization to bear as all Israel awaits her Messiah. But as we will see, John's message of being prepared in the light of the coming of the King comes at a very interesting place with a very interesting picture. Matthew 3, 4-6 reads, "Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River." Matthew mentions these fascinating elements about John. We've been talking about his message, but now we're going to learn about his clothing and his diet and then of his baptism. Let's start with his clothing. Sometime after John, Jesus would speak about John in this way. In Matthew 11, verse 8, it records Jesus as saying these words, "What did you go out to the desert, to the wilderness to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses." By mentioning this, Jesus makes a distinction between clothing of the children of earthly nobility and the harsh clothing of prophets. Prophets were rough, often difficult to get along with, and they were hardy. Theirs was not a life of comfort. John's food and clothing signified poverty and austerity. By wearing what he was wearing and eating what he was eating, he was saying, if you're going to get ready for the kingdom of heaven, this is not the time to invest in the kingdom of this earth. This is the time to think of the end of the earth and the beginning of heaven. And everything about John gave the impression that he believed what he was talking about. The second thing you would have noticed about John is what we today might call his altar call. When he preached repentance, John was looking for an instant response. He didn't want a warm handshake and a comment that he had preached a great sermon. He wanted you to come forward and confess your sins. And then you would get into a long lineup of miserable sinners like yourself. And you'd wait on the banks of the Jordan as he would baptize one sinner after another. And where does he get this idea of water baptism? We really don't read about baptism in the Old Testament, and yet here we see it suddenly mentioned, and it's almost like everyone knows exactly what he's talking about. As they get into line, they understand what is required of them. Well, first notice that while the Old Testament doesn't use the term baptism, Leviticus 15 verse 5 speaks of people who have become unclean in some way, and then mandates that they should be required to wash their clothes and bathe themselves in water. So the bathing in water was a symbol of ritual cleansing. There are all sorts of other Old Testament texts that also speak of this kind of ritualistic immersion in water as a symbol of cleansing. But it is only ritualistic cleansing. So when John baptized, he was asking individuals to act out, if you will, a genuine repentance, a genuine, not ritualistic cleansing, but an inner cleansing. We have more to say about this essential preparation for the kingdom, but for now notice that John wants it played out, that one's repentance was not a privatized matter, but was to be publicly demonstrated, and that would lead to the coming of the kingdom of heaven.
I hope you're enjoying listening to The King Goes Public series by Dr. John. And remember, you can join us on this station every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for more of Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We are excited to announce that Back to the Bible has launched its colorful and inspirational 2019 scripture text calendar with daily readings from the Bible. This allows you to read through your Bible in 1 year. Why not make the best of it by deciding to read the Word of God this year and be blessed? Also, it has a plan which helps you to pray for the states of our great nation, India, through the year. To receive your personal copy of the 2019 scripture calendar, call us at 9492-440070 or send your request with your address by WhatsApp or SMS to 9492-440070. Get your complimentary copy now before they go out of stock.